chapter 145 this morning. I know we put a slide up to say the same, but Brother Randy, his family, my family, Rachel, her family, my parents, we all just want to say thank you for everything this past week. Just more than I could possibly tell you. So just thank you. We just, Rachel said this week, she never really understood what church family was until this week. And church has been a huge blessing. And we just want to say thank you. And we love you all. And just continue to pray. The Lord is good. And we're just thankful for Him today. We're going to read that here in Psalm 145, just how great our God is. It says here, and if you'll follow along with me, starting in verse number 1, it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts, and I will declare Thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness, and shall sing of Thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. If you're saved today, we're one of God's saints. We should bless the Lord every day. Oh, that men would praise the Lord, the Bible says. His greatness is unsearchable. It is something we should do every day, forever and ever, is praise the Lord. This passage of Scripture goes and talks a lot about the attributes of our God, how great He is in verse number 3. And we ought, every one of us, should say thank you to God for His greatness. He's full of compassion. He's He's merciful, and it goes on and on to speak of all the just a handful of the characteristics and attributes of God. We enjoy talking about the attributes of God, enjoy studying those and sharing those. I guess I'm just trying to point out today that we have much to praise Him for. You could talk about His wisdom today. He is an all-knowing God. Amen? He's omniscient. He knows everything. We've been studying in our Bible class at school that only God knows how to make life work. All right? He's the one that created life. He knows. He has all wisdom there. I don't have all the answers. Neither do you. But God does. Amen. He is an all-knowing God. We could talk about the fact that He is a perfectly just God. He's perfectly just. He's perfectly fair. He is a sovereign God. He is the only God. He has all authority. He never changes. He's immutable. What a wonderful thing that is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is full of goodness. He is what good is, the psalmist said. He is full of kindness. We could talk about the kindness of God today. How kind our Lord is. He is faithful. You can trust Him. No matter what you go through, no matter where you travel, God is faithful. We could talk about His grace today. It's amazing, amen? God's grace. God's grace in giving us so many things that none of us deserve. We could talk about His mercy today, as the psalmist in this passage does. Mercy is not getting the things that we do deserve. We could talk for the next year about His love. And how loving our God is. God is love. He's a loving God. And all these attributes we rejoice in, we say amen to, we talk a lot about and preach a lot about. But there's one characteristic here in this passage of Scripture of God, one attribute of God that we know it's true and we'll amen it, but you don't hear near as many sermons on it. You don't hear as many, messages on it or read about it in books or see people, maybe having a conference on this attribute of God. But yet, it's probably the attribute that we enjoy the most. Unfortunately, we probably abuse the most. We count on the most. We, unfortunately, manipulate the most. And that attribute is found in verse number 8. The Lord is gracious. We can amen that. He's full of compassion. Amen. But it says there, slow to anger. I want to talk to you real quick today about the patience of God. The patience of God. The Bible says He's slow to anger. There's not too many books written on the patience of God. Well, I've not heard a lot of messages on the patience of God. But I know this, I'm thankful that the Lord is slow to anger. I'm thankful that He's a patient God. In the New Testament, you see the same thought, and it's this word in the New Testament most often, long-suffering. He's long-suffering. We have a patient God. It's one of those attributes that we speak the least of, but we probably use the most of. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for the patience of God. And that can be said by every one of us in this auditorium. God shows great patience to us. Now understand this, that He is a God, as the psalmist says, of great mercy. And mercy and patience, they are two different things. They're not the same. Mercy respects us as being miserable. Patience respects us as being criminal. Understand this, we're sitting in a room and we all can testify the same thing. There is none good, no, not one. Every one of us in this auditorium, unfortunately, we are all of our father Adam, and we have sinned. For all have come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Every one of us are beneficiaries of the patience of God. Not one of us fully understand the patience of God. Because God's mercy, He shows us mercy, and we've heard many messages on the grace and mercy of God, and we're thankful for the mercy of God. But God's mercy sees us as being miserable. That heart of compassion pours out upon us. Patience looks at us and knows that we're sinners. Yet, the wrath of God is holding back because He's patient. He's a God of patience. How many times in my life have I abused the patience of God more than I want to testify about today? And I'm looking at a congregation that can all say the same thing. God has been patient toward every one of us. Mercy pities us in our misery. Patience bears with our sin that is bringing that misery. God is so patient with us. Now, why is He a patient God? Turn over to another passage, back a few pages to Nehemiah. All right? Book of Nehemiah, be back a few pages to the left in chapter number 9. Let's talk about, real quick this morning, the patience of God. In Nehemiah chapter number 9 and in verse number 16. Nehemiah chapter 9 and in verse number 16. Talks about the patience of God. I want to bring to you this morning, number 1, the reason He is patient. The reason He is patient. I hope you fully understand what I'm talking about this morning. I am a sinner. I don't deserve the goodness of God. And that is mercy. That is grace. But God had all right, full right to condemn me. God had full right all the times that I've trampled under feet on his patience. He's had full right. But he's shown great patience towards me. And every one of us can testify the same thing. Why is he so patient? Why is he so patient with us who know to do right and we choose to do wrong? Why is he so patient with us when we know that things are sins, but we willingly do it anyways? Yet God is patient. He doesn't have to be, but he is. This patience is something he has just overflowed in every one of our lives. Why does he do it? In Nehemiah chapter number 9, look in verse number 16. It says, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. Friends, the same can be said about every one of us at times. We've all done that. Verse 17, and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks in their rebellion. Appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Why? What is the reason of God's patience? Why does he show so much patience? We could go back and you can examine throughout the Word of God the patience of God. God's patience shown to Israel wandering in the wilderness. God's patience shown even before that to a civilization of Noah's time that rejected for 100 years his preaching of righteousness. They were, every thought of their mind was wicked continually. And judgment was coming. But God gave them 100 years to repent. Think about that. Why? He's patient. For 100 years, man continued to think every thought wickedly. For 100 years, they blasphemed God. For 100 years, they rejected his message. For 100 years, they mocked. For 100 years, they scoffed. For 100 years, they lived a life of immorality and a disregard for all that was right. For 100 years, they did this and thought for 100 years that they were getting away with it. God was patient. Why is he so patient? He's patient, number one, in this passage here in verse number 17. Here's the reason why he's patient, because number one, he is ready to pardon. It says there, but thou art a God ready to pardon. You know why God's patient? Because he is standing ready and wanting nothing more than for you to call on him to forgive him. That's a wonderful thing. I don't think you're quite grasping what I'm talking about today, because you ought to be amen and a whole lot more than you are, right? God is so patient. Why? Because he's waiting. That's what the Bible says. He's ready to pardon. What a great God. What a great God. I mean, let's fully grasp this, all right? James is back there. Can you come up here real quick, James? James has no idea what I'm doing, right? I love James, all right? James is a good guy. Let's say that James, please don't, because you'll hurt me. But let's say James punches me in the nose. Oh, right? He spits on me. Don't. He spits on me. He tells me he hates me. I say, James, if we go this way, man, God's going to bless your life. And James goes that way, right? But yet here I am still. Bloody nose, spit on. Because I love him. And I don't want him to destroy his life. I have full right for everything he's done to me. Punch him back in the nose. I'm not, because he could beat me up. But not with God. Full right. I have full right to say, hey, if you don't want what I got, fine. I have full right to do that. But yet, every day in his rebellion, if you will, wherever he goes, God's right there. God's right there. Walk a little bit, man. He hates me. He's not listening to anything I say, but God's still there. He has full right as God to stop him in his tracks and just pour wrath upon him. God has full right to do that. We deserve that. Time to get off your high horse. You deserve the wrath of God. I deserve the wrath of God. Yet every day, he stands ready to pardon. That at any moment, that if you'll turn to God and say, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Yes. Yes. He's ready to pardon at all times. How many days before we were saved did we live our life with God standing there ready to pardon? How many times did probably God spare our life because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? And the patience of God is something every one of us should fall on our knees today that are saved and say, thank you, God, that you have been so patient with me in my life. After salvation, we've lived our life at times in rebellion, knowing we're doing wrong, knowing what the Bible says, and yet we just think we're getting away with it. And God says, I'm here, I'm ready to pardon, because he's patient. Thanks, James. Why is he so patient? Number one, because he's ready to pardon. Number two, look at the verse. Keep reading right where we left off. There in verse number 17. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. Can I tell you the second reason I've written down why he's so patient is because he's righteous yet pitiful upon us. He's perfectly righteous. God will never compromise. Amen. God is perfectly holy. That will never change. So why does he put up with us? Because we're not. We're a mess. We get ourselves in so many problems. We just do what we know is wrong so many times. Yet he's gracious and he's merciful. Aren't you thankful that he shows that pity towards us? Aren't you thankful that he is so gracious to us? Aren't you thankful that even in our absolute, before we were saved, rebellion against God, we enjoyed the goodness of God? How many times we as believers have lived opposite? Some of you young people are heading down the wrong path. Some of you young people are living and doing and involved in things. You know we're wrong. And you're walking around with your head up thinking, I'm getting away with it. Be not deceived. There is a God who's there, and he's perfectly holy and just, and you ought to thank him today. He's so patient. It breaks his heart as he walks side by side with you. It tears his heart as he sees what you're doing to yourself and to your family. But that God says, I'm still here. And he's patient. He still blesses us at times because he's gracious. He holds back the judgment because he's merciful. He's ready to pardon. He's righteous, yet he's pitiful. Aren't you thankful for that today? That he is a God that is full of patience. Every one of us ought to rejoice in that today. It says there, keep reading in the verse, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger. Slow to anger. I wrote down for my alliteration reasons, but you can write whatever you want. You can write slow to anger. It says there, of great kindness. I wrote down a simple phrase. He is really polite. He's really polite. I've had times, most of you men probably have done this, especially in 2020, once we're allowed to go out, You hold the door, right? And I hope every one of you men will hold the door when the lady's coming. I hope every one of you will let, you know, if you're somewhere and there's a limited amount of seats, that you men will get up and let the lady sit down. Amen. Maybe we'll preach on that later, all right? But there's been times I've held the door, I've, you know, given that seat, and say, you go ahead, please, and they get mad at me. One time I was holding the door at Kohl's, and this lady was walking in. She goes, go ahead. I was like, no, ma'am, you go right ahead. It'd be my honor to hold the door for you. She goes, I can handle a door. Without a doubt, ma'am, I understand. I'm just trying to be polite. I don't need your politeness. I want to say, never mind. All right. I just smiled, right? I said, ma'am, I'd rather you go first. And she cussed at me and walked through the door. You say, that lady, what a jerk, right? Yeah, she was. But we've done far worse to God. We've done so worse to God. You know, what's he do? What's he do? He keeps showing his goodness. He keeps showing his goodness. I don't deserve it, but he keeps doing it. He keeps pouring out goodness on our life. You live in absolute rebellion. You go against everything that you know is right to do in these areas. And for some reason, you'll sit in your pew on this message and you'll think, I'm okay. Everything, nothing bad's happening. It's because he's so full of goodness. And he's so full of patience. And he's gracious and merciful. And he just wants to forgive. He doesn't want you to go down paths that will destroy. And one of the greatest things, and I'll not bring James back up here, but you saw me following him around. He refuses to part from us. Isn't that awesome? It says there at the end of verse number 17, great kindness, and forsook us them not. Aren't you thankful that God never got sick of us? Amen. You ought to rejoice in that. Bunch of deadheads today. You ought to be excited, all right? You ought to be rejoicing today. You say, well, there's some stuff going on. No one knows that more than I do. But I choose to rejoice in how great God is today. I choose to rejoice in how patient he's been with us. I rejoice today in the fact that he's good. You say, well, even with people I know that are good, bad things happen. They do, but mark my words, we all deserve bad things to happen. We live in a world that is cursed by sin. Of course bad things are going to happen. But isn't God good to us? Isn't God wonderful to us? And some are wondering why am I still doing so well? I'll tell you why you're doing so well. Because he's full of patience. He's full of patience. And he's just standing there hoping and wishing and praying that you'll fall on your knees today and say, okay, God, forgive. And God says, I will. When the prodigal son came running home, he didn't have to beg and crawl. He had a good speech written up. He just got through a few words and his dad hugged his neck. He said, I'm just glad you're home, son. I'll be a servant. Are you kidding me? You're my son. Amen. You can do that today. How could that man do that when that boy wasted all that stuff? Because he's full of patience. Because he's full of love. God understands what we are. God is right there with us. He's patient with us. Not because we deserve it. Do you hear me? We don't deserve his patience. I'm going to snatch another lie from the devil out today. Not because you're going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. The devil's whispering in some ears, you'll be different. You'll be the exception. There are no exceptions. It's not because God is incapable of punishing. He's more than able. But his patience is so great. Then listen to me. You can't walk away. He's still there. Now, if you leave this earth without receiving his offer of forgiveness, there is a damnation. There is a hell. But if you're breathing today, he stands ready to pardon. As a child of God, you may be walking completely opposite. He still loves you. And just as I followed James around, he's still there. You may have sped on him spiritually. You may have cursed him spiritually. You may have turned your back on him spiritually, but he's not forsaken. He's still there today. Say, how do you know that? Because look what he gave me to preach today. He wanted me to tell you this today. That he'll forgive you. Because he's full of patience. What a wonderful God. He knows what we are. Turn over to the right to Psalm 103 real quick. Just a glance at this verse and we'll wrap the message up. In Psalm 103. And in verse number 8. Psalm 103 and in verse number 8. Just a few pages to the right. It says here in Psalm 103 and verse number 8. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. And here it is again. Slow to anger. Plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Look down in verse number 14. Here's why. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are what? Hey, listen. I said earlier, I wasn't being mean. We need to get off our high horse. We are all dirt. That's all we are. I'm not calling you a name. We literally are dirt. God formed man out of the dirt, the dust of the ground. Without him giving us life, we're nothing. So you know why God is so slow to anger? He knows what we are. You know why he's so patient with us? He knows that he said it in his ministry on this earth, all of our hearts are desperately wicked. He's so full of patience today. Remember when Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? And finally, through some interesting circumstances, Jonah ends up going. And remember, he preached, and the entire city of Nineveh gets right with God. Remember what Jonah said? Jonah got up there and he looked over the city and he said, quote, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. And he got mad at God for that. Because he knew that if they repented, as wicked as they were, that God would forgive them. That's our God too. I don't care who you are, what you've done, and how low you have fallen. If you will look to your God in heaven today and say, I am sorry, he says, I've just been waiting for you to say it. Where are you, God? I'm right here. I didn't leave you. God's just waiting. He's willing. And that's the only reason he is so full of patience. And we ought to rejoice in that today. The result of his patience, turn over to 2 Peter chapter number 3. In 2 Peter chapter number 3, the result of his patience, we see the reason why he is patient. I want you to see the result of his patience in 2 Peter in chapter number 3 and in verse number 9. 2 Peter 3 and in verse number 9, it says this, 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. 2 Peter 3, 9, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. There's that phrase. He's long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why God is so patient? You know what the result, when we understand the patience of God? It should lead us to repentance. The number one thing, the number one result I want to talk about today is salvation. If you'll stop and consider the patience of God in your life, there are some kids in this auditorium right now, some 12, 13, 14-year-olds in the auditorium who have cursed God, who use his name in vain, who let wicked things fly out of their mouth. You say, well, God hadn't struck me down. I know, because he's so patient. He's so patient. There are some adults here today that know there are things that are in the Word of God, but they don't want to. And they're sitting in their pew, really feeling quite miserable right now, probably, with a message like this. And they're listening to it. And they say, well, God hasn't, like, lowered the boom down on me. I know. Because he's so patient. So patient that he laid on Thursday this message on my heart and said, son, would you please tell him I'm being patient? Because I love him. And I don't want him to perish. Look around at this country. There are things and bills in some states being introduced that should turn our stomachs as a human being. The wickedness and the path that this country is headed down, God should have already taken his hand and has full right to bring everything down to its knees. But he's not. I'm not saying he won't, but I'm saying he's patient. And we ought to be thankful for that. Because he's not willing that any should perish. And if you are here today and you have not received his gift of salvation and you keep walking around living your life and blasphemy to God and doing the things you want to do that you know is wrong, would you stop today and please consider how much he loves you? And he's being patient because he just wants you to repent today. Also for us that are saved, he wants us to understand it so we can share it. Turn back a few pages to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Almost done. Just a few thoughts more. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse number 5. Romans 15. I love this title of God right here. If you want to underline something in your Bible to look back someday and get a smile and rejoice about, it says in Romans 15, 5, now the God of patience. Isn't that wonderful? What a great title. What a wonderful attribute. Amen? He's the God of patience. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be, oh, here we go, like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Ah. Maybe even sitting in the pew and you're just like, I am not in absolute rebellion. I've yielded to God. I not that I'm perfect, but I've been confessing my sin. You know, so I'm good. Well, what does the Bible say here? That he is the God of patience. And now God wants us to be like-minded to each other. Whoa. Whoa, right? Yeah, this one's hard, right? What did I just say? We're going to have to be like-minded towards each other. That means there may be some people that have spit on you, that have talked bad about you, that have done some pretty rotten things and tore your heart out and stepped on it. There may be some people that is in every way just taking advantage of you. But somehow down deep for the glory of God, we have to show them patience. Amen. We have to show them patience. We have to be like-minded. Like-minded to them. It was easy when we were just talking about people involved in sin, right? We have to do that. Travis Burke has to do that. Bill Sutherland has to do that. Shane Davis has to do that. Every believer, we have a responsibility to do that. That's hard. It's hard. It's hard. But we have to choose for the glory of God to be patient. Which means what? We're ready to forgive. We're not going to forsake him. We're going to show him grace and mercy. And be good to him. That they might come to repentance. That we be like-minded. I don't know about you. I need God's help to do that. I'm going to need God to strengthen me to do that, to teach me to do that, to enable me to do that, to be like-minded. All of us have been beneficiaries of the patience of God. And all of us that understand that are to do the same thing for other people. We can. Because God wouldn't ask us to do it if he wouldn't enable us to do it. The reason he's patient, you see the result of his patience. But I do want to close with this. Look over in Romans chapter number 2. Romans 2, we'll read this verse, say a word, and close in prayer. But in Romans chapter 2, I just want to talk very briefly on the refusal of his patience. The refusal of his patience. In Romans chapter 2. So what is this point talking about? It's talking about to those who hear the message today and know that God's been patient with them, but they say, I'm not changing. And we abuse the patience of God willingly and knowingly. In Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? If you have already intended in your mind to leave this place and continue on in your rebellious ways and just take advantage of the long-suffering and patience of God, not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God has been so gracious and God has been so good and God has been so patient, longing for your repentance. But after thy hardness, an impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. If you decide today to go on in your life and just say, I'm not changing, I'll take my chances with the wrath of God. You trod under your feet today the patience of God that has been given to you and shown to you today, and how wonderful his patience is. If you blatantly defy the ready to pardon that God is offering you today, and you just go on thinking, I'll be the exception, I will get away with it, it's not going to affect me, you're a fool today. Because God will render to every man according to his deeds. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The psalmist said simply, I will be sorry for my sins. Now God is a God of patience. Aren't you thankful? He's so patient. It breaks my heart to know how patient he's had to be with me. But he's so patient. And he's so patient that for some reason today, he wanted someone to hear it. That he's being patient. Because he doesn't want you to perish. If you're not saved today, would you please come today, accept the gift of salvation? He stands ready to pardon. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's right here. Child of God, get right with him today. You're not getting away with it. He's just patient. He's not incapable of not judging. He's just patient. Beyond our human comprehension. And saying of God, there may be someone we have to show that same patience towards. May God help us be like-minded. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning.